He's the one that we do what we do for. Do you honor your commitments? Do you honor your commitments? Apathy, who cares? So what? Do you honor your commitments is the question. We'll be in Malachi chapter 2, and we'll look at those verses 1 through 16. We might as well cover 17, one more verse. We'll look at there and see what God has to speak to your heart and mind about this morning. Where did you go with me in prayer? Our Father and our God, Lord, we just thank you for today. God, I thank you for the songs that were sung. Lord, I thank you for the special that Adam has done. The Lord, make us empty. God, make us lonely. God, make us all those things, but God, continue to be making me. God, continue your work in progress that you have for us and that you've laid out for us, the Lord. God, as we come to this time, God, it has already been prayed, the Lord, that we defeat the devil and we rebuke him in the name of Jesus, and he's got to go. He's not welcome here. Let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to continue to move upon us today. God, I pray that you'd open up our hearts, you'd open up our ears, God, open up our minds. God, bless us to receive the word that is presented. And God, I pray that you defeat the devil, Lord, and open up our hearts. God, I pray the anointing over the reading of your word. Your word is precious. God, your word is anointed. And God, I pray a special anointing over the reading of your word this morning. That God, that you would, again, we won't just be hearers of your word, but we will be doers of your word, the Lord. That we can apply it to our hearts, apply it to our lives. And God, create in us a desire to serve you. Create in us a desire to live for you. A desire to be committed, sold out, and faithful to you, the Lord. That this state of apathy that folks are in around this world, God, that it can be removed from us, the Lord, that we can start within our heart a renewed and revival within us, God. God, may we not be the same as what we come in here as. God, may we be recited, renewed, and refreshed, the Lord, that when we leave this place, we can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord, but God, we can carry your message out into a world that needs to hear about Jesus. God, bless us with your boldness today. Again, as we open up your word, may your blessings be poured upon it, the Lord. Hide us behind the cross of Calvary. Fill us with the desires and the words that you would have us to say so we can declare your message, the Lord, in a way that is pleasing and honoring to you. God, challenge us. God, prick us where we need to be pricked. God, cut where it needs to be cut. May your word accomplish that which you're pleasing it to do today. God, we love you. We praise you. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Are you excited to be in God's house? Say amen. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to be talking about in Malachi chapter 2. Last week we were in Malachi 1 and talking about the discussion of apathy and who cares and knowing that God cared. And we understood that last week that the priests were accepting offerings of burnt sacrifices, and offerings they were receiving were of sick lambs, those that had no merit, those lambs that had sores, the ones that were maimed, the one that was the second best, and things of that nature. Listen to me. God doesn't desire second best from you and me. Amen. God desires the best and nothing less from us. He gave us the best. Why don't we give him back what is rightly his and give him the best that he desires from you and me? Amen. So we're going to look at chapter 2, and it's going to be dealing with the priests this round. It's going to be dealing with pastors in the pulpits across America. And my friends, I know there's a lot of them listen to what we put on the computer with these messages, and I'm here to say, when I think of apathy and I think of who cares, I think across America today, my friend, I look in pulpits across this country, and I think a lot of what we're experiencing, apathy in the world today, it started from behind the pulpit today, because the men of God are not willing to love their people enough to tell them the truth about God's word. They're not willing to love them enough to open up and share and preach God's word. Yes, there's the places around here that you see on TV, my friend, where they have 100,000 in their congregations, but not once do you hear the word of God opened up, told and preached, my friend. We need to be challenged about the word of God. Yes, my friends, we need to understand, as I preached last week, that we have a predator. We have an enemy. He's real, and his name is Satan. And he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. And my friends, pulpits across the country today are not preaching about Satan, and he's real, and are not preaching about hell. And if we don't get right, that's what we'll be spending eternity. My friend, listen, it's time to shake up the pulpits and the pastors that are behind the pulpits. Amen. Amen. It's time, my friend, we wake up in America. As I said, we let the Bible get kicked out of school by one person back in the 1960s in prayer. And my friend, that's where we have gotten today, is in a state of apathy. And it's time, my friend, we do something about it. Amen? It's time we change those things. Look at Malachi chapter 2 with me. As we read, it says, "And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. And if you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed, and spread dung upon your faces, and the dung on your solemn feast, and one shall take away with it. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave to him for the fear wherewith he feared me, and was afraid before my name." That's a reverence fear, my friend. That's a respect for God, and a respect for his name, and a respect for his word, my friend, which I feel today is a part of apathy, that we no longer respect the word of God. We no longer pray, have a prayer time, and read God's word, and are faithful in attendance. Oh, listen to me. It goes so much deeper than this. It said in verse 6, "The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity." Oh, listen to me. The law and truth was found in his mouth. My friends, listen to me. I'm afraid, my friend, when I look across the world and I look at the news at night, I'm afraid there's many preachers that have polluted the word of God and polluted, my friend, the pulpits of God across America today, because they don't stand up on the word of God. When you look and you see ministers, my friends, that ministry has been collapsed because of drinking, because of alcohol, because of illicit sex, because of prostitution, you name it, my friend. It's in the pulpits across America today, and it ought not be there. Amen. It's time to make that change. Are you with me this morning? Say amen. Oh, listen, I might have this brace on. It might fly off of here in a minute if you don't straighten up and get excited about Jesus. You hear me? Oh, listen, it's time, my friend, that we get excited about the Lord and do what God's word says. Oh, listen, and preach it and proclaim the word of God. It's time. It's excited we get there. He said in verse 6 again, "The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did not turn many away from their iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts." My friend, listen to me. It's time, preachers, to get in the word of God. It's time to read God's word. It's time to proclaim it. It's time to live it. It's time to preach it. Amen. It's time to get excited about what God is doing. "But you are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts." I'm tired of seeing on the news. I'm tired of reading in the media about how many preachers have ruined the things when it comes to Christianity. How many have ruined things when it comes to the word of God? Have caused disheartening in the congregations of people across this world. My friends, it's time, my friend, we get back to the basis and start preaching the word of God. Amen. Oh, listen to me. Why preach it? My friend, if the pastor was any pastor at all, he'd preach it because he loves you. He'll preach it because he loves his congregation. He'll preach it and tell it like it is because he loves you and wants to see the best for your life, my friend. That's the reason you preach the word of God. And plus, it is the word of God, and it is desirous to be preached. Amen? And stood upon preaching the word of God. And verse 9 says, "Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all people, according as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why deal we treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of your fathers?" My friend, I'm here to tell you, the state of apathy that we're in is because people are dealing treacherously earnestly with the Word of God and not standing on it and preaching the Word of God across the world today. And it goes back from the pulpit to the pew. We that are sitting out in the congregations across America today deal treacherously with the Word of God. Who cares is that attitude? Apathy. Who cares when I come to church? Who cares when I serve the Lord? Who cares when my family comes? Who cares what I give? Who cares? My friend, it's a state of apathy across the world today. Oh, listen to me. Jesus cares. That's who cares, because he died for you, my friend, and he wants the best for you. He says, have we not all one Father in verse 10? Have not one God created us? Why, man, why do we deal treacherously? Every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of the fathers. Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which loved, and hath married the daughters of a strange God. He says, the Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, and the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offering an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have you done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, with crying out, insomuch as you regarded not the offspring any more, or receiveth it with the good at your hand. Yet you say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and thy wife of thy youth, against whom thou dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion, and thy wife of thy covenant, and did not he make one? Yet had the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that he might speak a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirits. What did he say? Therefore take heed. What? Heed. Are you with me? Is the word on the screen? Amen. It's reading right out of the KJV, right from the Word of God. Are y'all with me? He said, and therefore, what did he say? Therefore take what? Hey, y'all don't want me to point that out, do y'all? Amen. What does it say? Therefore do what? Take heed. Take heed. Take heed to the Word of God. Take heed to what's going on. My friend, he said, take heed. Now take heed to the Word of God. Oh, listen to me. And wherefore? Where am I at? Verse 15, did not make one, go 15, that you had residue of the Spirit and wherewith, that he might seek godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord thy God of Israel saith that he hated putting away, for one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore what? Take heed to what? Your spirit. Do you think he means business by that when he says it twice? That you deal not treacherously. You have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. Oh, where is the God of judgment? Oh, listen to me. Apathy, a state of apathy, my friend, who cares, is running rampant across America today. Listen to me. We as Christians have gotten in that state of apathy. Who cares? Who cares when a one person got the Bible out of school? Who cares when prayer was gotten out of the school? Who cares that they removed the Ten Commandments from the courthouse? Who cares, my friend? We have sit back as Christian brothers and sisters in Christ and have got in a state of apathy that we let this world run rampant and do whatever it wants. That we would let the administrations that we let in office do whatever they want. My friend, there serve the Constitution and amendments are talked about. We the people. We the people, it's for us, my friend, and it's time that we stand up and do something about it. Oh, listen to me. Apathy, who cares? When you think about apathy and you think about who cares, my friend, it comes along with responsibility. It comes along with responding in obedience, my friend. It's time that we take responsibility. It's time that we respond in obedience. My friend, it's like this all the time. It started back in Genesis with Adam and Eve and the serpent. And Adam did what? Pointed a finger and did what? Blamed Eve. And Eve did what? Pointed a finger and blamed the serpent. Right? We had fun the other day at the rehab facility at the Plaka Healthcare. Miss Jean and them was in there, and I had my boys in there, and Rick was in there, and they were cutting up. So when I got Rick and my two boys, I got three children with me. All right? And I had them in there, and I had to correct them and straighten them up. And when I looked at them, guess what Landon did? He pointed to Rick. Guess what Rick did? He pointed to Grant. And guess what Grant did? He pointed to Rick. So I said, Rick, 2-1, you out of here. You know? But listen to me. It's the state that we're in. It was fun and we were having a good time. But that's what we live in today. Nobody wants to take responsibility. Nobody wants to respond in obedience. Just live your life any way you want to. Who cares? The state of apathy we're in. It's time that somebody take responsibility. It's time that we respond in obedience. Listen to me. I can't live your life for you. I wish I could. I can't make you come to church. I wish I could. I can't make you be faithful. I wish I could. I can't make you serve the Lord. I wish I could. I can't make you give of your time, your talents, and your treasures. I wish I could. The house of God might be full, but I can't do that. It's time that you as individuals take responsibility and do what God's called you to do. It's time for you as members of bodies in the congregation, as individuals, to take responsibility and be obedient to what God's called you to do. Well, that's about 3/4 of you. It's time that you take responsibility and respond in obedience and do what God's called you to do. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Faithfulness requires obedience. Faithfulness requires obedience. Be ye strong. Be careful to obey that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or left. Oh, listen to me. Taking responsibility. God desires for us to listen and obey. That's what he says in Malachi 2:2. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, and you will not give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yeah, I've cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart, is what he's saying. He's saying, if you will not hear me, if you will not take it to heart and give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will curse upon you. My friend, I'm afraid that there's many pulpits and churches across America and pastors across America that are living under the curse because they ain't taking the word of God to heart and preached it and lived on it and abide by it, my friends. Oh, listen, but not only that, but it goes from the pulpit to the pew. I'm afraid, my friend, that's what's taking place in many Christians' hearts across America today and churches across America, that we haven't taken the word of God to heart and applied it and lived by it. Amen or oh me. James 1:2 says this. In James 1:2 it says, but be ye quitters. But be ye person that don't have to worry about anything. But be ye what? Doers of the word. And not just doers of the word, and not just what? Hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Be ye doers of the word. My friend, we need to get in God's word, and we need to apply it and do what God says. I'm recalled in 1 Samuel 3:10. I'm recalled when Samuel was with Eli, and God had begun to call him. And every time God called him, he went and said, are you calling it? Here's your servant. He said, the next time you hear that call, you answer and said, here am I, your servant, master speaking. What does he say? He said, and the Lord came and stood and called as the other times. Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant hears. My friend, all we hear and what the word of God says. How many times is God calling on your life? How many times is God knocking on your heart's door? How many times has God showed up beckoning with you, calling you by name? I serve a personal Lord and Savior that invites personally to each and every one of us that are in here. How many times have God personally knocked at your heart's door? Oh, listen to me. 3 times with Samuel, and then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. My friend, listen to me. It's time. If we're going to get out of living a state of apathy, and we're going to get out of the mindset of living about who cares, it's time we say, Lord, speak, I'm listening. Lord, speak, I'm hearing. Amen. God, speak, I'm listening to what you're telling me to do. Your servant is hearing you, God. It's time that we get to that point in our lives. Not only that, my friend, but along with responsibility comes receiving the truth. Look back at verse 6. It says the law of what? Y'all better pick up the pace around here. Y'all better get in tune with the Lord. Amen. It says the law of what? Truth was in his mouth. And iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in what? Peace and did not turn many away from iniquity. Oh, he's talking about, you know, my friend, if we're going to be responsibility and we're going to respond in obedience and we're going to have that reverence of the Lord and stand in all of him, my friend, and it comes with us accepting God's instructions and receiving the truth and maintaining a steady intake of the Bible and using God's word and allowing God's word to penetrate our lives like a stake driven in the ground, my friends. God's word wants to change your heart and life. Failure to teach and receive the truth from God's word sets the stage for wrong doctrine, my friend. It sets the stage for shabby living. And if you look across the country today, my friend, I think you'll see people handling God's word treacherously, my friend. Wrong doctrine and shabby living. And you look across the world today, and that's what we created, my friend, when we allowed the Bible and the prayer in schools to be taken out. When we allow, my friends, pulpits to be filled of people that is not preaching the word of God. Oh, it leads to wrong doctrine and shabby living. Oh, listen, we have to teach, my friend, and to receive the truth of God's word, my friend. And not only that, but demonstrate it and live it out in your life and my life. Oh, listen, not only in responsibility, but it requires a righteous living. It requires us to walk in a manner that is good and upright, turning away from sin. He said the law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his ways. He said he what? He walked with me in peace, my friend, walking with him in truth. And he said he did not turn many away, and did turn many away from iniquity, from their sins, walking in the truth of God's ways. Not only that, but my friend, taking that responsibility on and responding in obedience represents God to others. Represents God to others. It shows others that God is living in you and me. It shows others the way of the truth. When you look back at verse 7, you look at it, it says, for the priest's lips should keep what? Knowledge. And they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is what? The messenger of the Lord of hosts. My friends, God has set aside ministers today throughout the world to be messengers of the word of God. Not messengers of them, not messengers of what they think, but messages of what? The word of God. Get in the word. Get in there. We're messengers for the Lord. Preach it. The Levitical priest here represents God's revealed his will to his people. We are the kingdom of priests in the world today. We bear the same responsibility. We all are priests in God's house. We all are here to carry out the message that Jesus saves. We're saved, my friend, to tell others about Jesus. We have a responsibility to do. Oh, we got people into the truth. There are four commitments we should make on a daily basis, my friends. We should honor God. Everything that we do, everything we say, every day we get up, our life should bring honor and glory to God. Our life should be bringing honor and glory to the Lord. My friend, as Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, that's one of the things we should do. Wake up to honor the Lord with our lives. Honor God with what we do. Not only honoring him, my friend, drinking from his word. Get in his word. Read it. Drinking from his word. Honoring him. Not only that, but living distinctively as God's people. Living distinctively as God's people. The state of apathy we in because nobody cares about living distinctively. Separated lives so people can see that we're a child of the King. My friend, living lives that are distinctively about God, living for him. Oh, and in understanding, we are his messengers to a lost and dying world. We are his messengers to a lost and dying world. Wake up every day with that mindset, my friend. And I'm here to tell you, apathy will be no more. Apathy will go by the wayside. It will get lesser and lesser every day. If we abide by these and live by these, commitment, commitment. We don't want to hear that in the house of God today. We don't want to hear that. Commitment is a cuss word with the children of God. I got to keep, Miss Jean, I got to be committed to do this. Got to be committed to do that. Yeah. Whoever said living a Christian life was a bed of roses, they didn't tell you about the stem with all the thorns on it. Amen. It takes dedication to be a missionary for over 20 years in Alaska. Brother Tim and the Andrews, it takes dedication to live in that, to provide your own food, to kill your caribou. Listen, I can live up there if I can hunt every day. Live up there and shoot your caribou and your moose and all that. But listen to me. Alaska ain't for sissies. Amen. It's for men's men and women's women. You don't believe me? Try to go up there for a little bit. They'll take you. Oh, listen, it takes commitment to be a part of what God wants us to do. Amen? Hey, listen, the Christian ain't for wimps. Christian life ain't for sissies. Amen? It's for men's men and women's women. Amen? Amen. Do I got any in here? Say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm glad to know I ain't got to preach on something else. Oh, listen, not only that, apathy, who cares? But warning, living under the warning, recognizing what the Lord says. Malachi does not sugarcoat the situation, my friends. He doesn't sugarcoat what he's saying. Look at verse 2 with me again. He said, if you will not hear and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. Malachi didn't sugarcoat it, did he? He says, you better trust the Lord. You better live for him. If not, God's going to curse you. And my friend, he's already been cursing you because you did not lay it to heart. Oh, listen, the heart is the command center of a person's life, folks. It's where we collect and consider knowledge. It's where we make decisions and plans that determine the direction of our lives. My friend, the heart is the command center. And Malachi says, you did not lay it to heart. My friend, the reason that we're living in a state of apathy, and the apathy is in the pulpits and across every congregation and the state and the country and the worldwide, is because we don't take God's word to heart. My friend, we need to take it to heart. We need to live by it, abide by it, and my friend, and share it with those that we come in contact with. Not only that, but number 3 is the reason. You know, responsibility comes with warning, comes with reason. Remembering the benefits that Malachi had talked about in verse 5. He said, my covenant was with him of what? Life and peace. And he gave to him for the what? Fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. That fear means in standing in all of God. That means have a reverence, respect for God and for who he is and for God's word. My friend, listen to me. I feel in pulpits across America today, in churches across America today, in congregations across the world, in the country today, the reason they're in a state of apathy, my friend, is because we discredit God's word. We don't worry about God's word. There's no keeping of his promises. There's no keeping of his covenant and believing of what God has said. He said in verse 5, my covenant was with him of life and peace that gave to him for the what? Fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. That reverence for the Lord's word, that reverence for God's house, that reverence for us as husbands and wives, as family, as dads and moms and grandparents and things of that nature across the world, as well in the pulpits, my friend, there is no more reverence for the fear of God, no more respect for him. It's time we get back and we have reverence and respect what God's word says. Reverence and respect for brothers and sisters in Christ. Reverence and respect, my friend, for the house of the Lord. Reverence and respect for your own self and where you stand and line up with the Lord. Oh, listen, it's time we get back to that place in our lives where we have that respect. My friend, when a person honors their commitments, they reach out in an unpredictable future and make one thing predictable. They will be there and they will follow through. They will be there and they will follow through. What about you? When you ask yourself that question, when it comes to the things of the Lord, ask yourself, can they depend on me? Can they trust in me? Am I faithful? Am I going to be there? Can they depend on me? Can they follow through? Can they depend on me to follow through? When I make a commitment, can they depend on me to be there and follow through and do what I'm obligated to do? Ask yourself that. Pastors, ask yourself that across the pulpits in the country today. Can you be there? Are you there? Can you follow through with what you say you're going to do? Are you committed to teach the Word of God? We need to be asking ourselves that today. Not only that, but failure resulting to unfaithfulness. The priests failed in their responsibility to teach the people God's law, to teach the people the Word of God. The people then turned and failed to revere God. They failed to receive His Word and live distinctly separated lives for Christ, facing failure. Failure resulting to unfaithfulness. My friend, the state of apathy where we're at today. Failure resulting unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness. The covenant, my friend, was a solemn pledging something into to remain protected. The word covenant, remaining protected, remaining sacred. My friend, listen to me. In the state of that we're living in today, there is no such thing as a covenant. My friend, it isn't. There's no such thing as a covenant. There's no saying as your word is your bond. My friend, we deal treacherously with the covenants that we make today. Ecclesiastes speaks loud and clear about making a vow and not following through with that vow. He said it's better not to make one at all than to make one and not follow through with it. Oh, listen, covenants, when it comes to that today, my friend, there is no thing. There is no way of standing on that and making that known anymore. Look back at verse 10. It says, have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal what? Treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the what? Covenant of your fathers. My friend, we deal treacherously with God's word. We deal treacherously with our relationships, my friend, and especially with our relationships with one another as husbands and wives. My friend, the covenants are not there no more. You looked at the statistics in the Gallup poll, and it shows across America today, 60% of marriages end in divorce today. That means that's one in more than two. One in every two marriages end in divorce today. My friend, that's sad. You didn't hear that thing. When I went back, you didn't hear that when the Bible and prayer was in school. You didn't hear much of that in that time frame and that time period. But this generation we're living in today, you're lucky if you can get somebody to stay married past 5 minutes. Amen, homie. Amen. Time they say amen, and I do at the courthouse, and they get in the vehicle and drive 100 yards, they want to throw down. You know, and I was thinking about Bodie and Udabot, where they came over Thursday and we went to a Bible study together. And before we walked out the door, we had some people driving down the road and they decided to pull in our driveway. The woman got out and the man got out, and man, they went at it. And I was like, okay, now, you made the mistake and slug her, and you're going to have a big problem in my driveway. Amen. That was lessons of respect. You know, and we sit there and we watch, they cut the fool for, I don't know, 15 minutes. And then here the woman is walking down, now, walking down, going north in a southbound lane. And here the man is driving his car, going north in the southbound lane so they can fight going down the road. I said, what in the world has it come to today? And luckily, two sheriff's department police officers came by shortly after that. But I'm sitting there saying, come on. You know, come on, we deal with each other, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, and the Word of God and the Church of God and churches across America from the pulpit of God, whatever you want to call it, we deal with God treacherously, and it's time to stop. It's time to stop. It's time to get right and get back doing business God's way. Look at verse 14. He says, yet you say, wherefore, because the Lord hath been a witness between thee and thy wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant? He goes and he talks about those treacherous things. Those relationships, those covenants are broken. The other party was no longer obligated. In the Jewish religion, the Jews had broken their agreement and their covenant with one another, with God, and with the Word of God, and with their spouses. They failed to keep the commitment to their spouses, but this wasn't the only repercussion, my friend. There was a larger issue than that. Look back at verse 8. Look back at verse 8. He says, but ye are departed out of the way. You have what? Caused what? Many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My friend, from God's word across America to living with living treacherously. You know, sometimes you want to say something and the Holy Spirit goes, ink. And sometimes you really want to go, ink. And the Holy Spirit goes, ink. That's what just happened with me. Thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit. Amen. Get myself in trouble sometimes. Dealing treacherously with the Word of God, with the covenant of God, with our prayer to God, living, preaching God's Word, being faithful, the state of apathy we're in is because we've dealt with God's Word so treacherously. Dealt with God's Word so treacherously. My friend, it's time we take it for what it is. It's time that we, you know, when I think of marriages and I think of friendships and I think of business partnerships, they have, majority of them have been rendered useless. You know why? Because one of the other partners failed to maintain their commitment and their covenant to one another. Failed to maintain their commitment and covenant to one another and honor their commitment. Oh, listen, it's a terrible thing today. In closing, with me, look at this. The last thing is actions, erecting boundaries. Malachi provided some needed action steps. Look back at verse 15 and 16 with me in closing. He said, and he did not make one, yet he had the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith, yea, to put him away, the one that covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore, what does he say? Take heed to what? Your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. The people turned and failed to revere God. They failed to respect God. In other words, you can say like this, so watching yourselves carefully, do not act treacherously against your wife of youth. Therefore, watch yourself carefully, and do not act treacherously. What is he speaking of? He is speaking to marriage, saying that there are some things we can do to promote and protect our marriages. Principle applies also to the things that we can do in our life to protect and promote our commitment to the Lord. Our commitment to Him. We have a God who honors His commitments. He keeps His promises. He fulfills His word. What about us? Can you say that, Pastor Tim, you have a man and you have a woman of God that you can trust in me to keep my word? You can trust in me to keep my promises. You can trust in me to fulfill my commitment. Pastor Tim, you can trust in me. Honey, come up here. Where my honey at? You know, it talk about keeping your commitment. Talking about all these things we talked about, responding, the state of apathy, and everything that this country is in. Right now, I'm blessed. You can come up here, honey. Right now, I'm blessed to be able to be doing three different people's premarital counseling in the church with us today. And also am privileged to be doing two marriage counselings to help others rebuild and strengthen their relationship today. You know, Tanya and I did premarital counseling before we got married. And it's the greatest thing that I can say that I ever did. The greatest thing that Tanya says she ever did was to go through premarital counseling. In that premarital counseling, it taught me a lesson of respecting my wife. It taught me a lesson that outside of Jesus in my life, that there is nobody that feels and meets my physical need other than my wife. Amen. Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no other that fulfills and meets my emotional need like my wife. Outside of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is nobody else that meets me and fulfills me on a spiritual level other than my wife. Amen. And you know, when we were doing that study, the counselor told Tanya and I both, he said, you should be able to look at one another every day and not take for granted. Look at each other every day from a heart of sincerity and say, nobody completes me like you do. Amen. I am incomplete without you, and you complete me. And you need to be able to say that every day, and you say it from a heart of sincerity, your marriage won't be in a state of apathy either. Amen? And you know, when I was in my office, and I was dealing with a couple Thursday in my office, and I told them to look at each other and tell each other, nobody completes me like you do. Outside of Jesus, nobody meets me physically, emotionally, and spiritually on the level that you do outside of Jesus. When that couple looked at each other and said that, they began to cry. You know what happened? I was just telling them about what my wife and I do every day. And at that time, I got a text from my wife. And in that text it says, I want you to know I love you. I thank God for you. Thank God for all that you do for me and the boys. And nobody completes me like you do. I took it around and showed the couple I was counseling with. I said, see, I'm not only teaching you, but I live it. My wife lives it. My friend, listen to me. I can sit here and teach it all day long. I can sit here and preach it all day long. But until you make up your mind to live it, it's not going to do a bit of good. Till you make up your mind that I'm going to change and I'm not going to live in a state of apathy. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be committed. I'm going to be sold out. My friend, I can't make that decision for you. That's between you and the Lord. But my friend, if we want to see apathy change in our lives, in our marriages, and in our children, and in the churches across America, then my friend, we better get committed. Love you. Love you. My friend, listen. Listen. Outside of Jesus, my friend, sound like an old man. Make myself tickled sometimes. Outside of Jesus, my friend, there should be, and outside of your spouse, there should be nobody that meets you on a physical, emotional, or spiritual level like Jesus and your spouse. Oh, listen, it's time that we take our commitment serious about the Lord. It's time that we get serious about what God wants us to do. Folks, listen, we have the power to change society. We have the power to change the current administration we have running this world. We got the power as Christian brothers and sisters. We got the power in the name of Jesus. We got the power to change it. Are you ready to change? Are you ready to stop living a life of apathy?